Without prayer, we cannot live spiritually, especially in the time of suffering. As a believer, our life goal is to become like Jesus Christ. But it is impossible in the time of suffering. Prayer will help us to handle the trials and give wisdom to live righteous life in the time of suffering. But it should be God-centered prayer, not man-centered prayer. When should you pray? Whom should you pray? How should you pray? What motivates you to pray? These all questions will be answered in this sermon. This sermon is very important to those who are facing trials present and also those who are going to face trials in future. Open your Bible along with me as we are reading Word of God. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. I am reading from NASB. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7 says, for that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James is the author of this letter. He wrote this to Jewish Christians who are scattered. This background is in Acts chapter 8 verse 1. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, that is Stephen. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. For those people that James was writing, they have trials of faith, and they have trials of finance, and they have fear in that time. In the time James is writing, they are facing trials. So, main theme of this passage is God-centered prayer in trials. God-centered prayer in trials. Look at verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Asking is praying or requesting God. He is telling to his readers that they should ask God in time of trials. Praying is very essential, my dear brothers and sisters. This is true especially in the time of suffering. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, Paul said that, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, God-centered prayer in the trials, the main theme. Three principles that teach us to pray in God-centered way. First principle that teaches us to pray in God-centered way is praying by acknowledging our weakness. Praying by acknowledging our weakness. Look at verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. James is saying that the lacks wisdom in trials. This is showing weakness of believers in trials. He is telling when does believer pray? That is when they have lack of wisdom in trials. Here James was generally speaking, anyone who has lack of wisdom in trials based on verse 3. James used the word wisdom. The meaning of word is the skillfulness of using knowledge In this context, wisdom is handling the trials, my dear brothers and sisters. Handling the practical issues in life in the time of trials. This is showing weakness of believers, that is you and me, who are in trials. This is not for particular persons. This is for anyone who is believer and he is in trials and lack of wisdom in that time. He is speaking with every believer. He is speaking generally. This apply every believer in Jew, and this apply nowadays Christians also, and it is apply universal church. This is showing that everybody will need to pray in time of suffering. The believer thinks that this is not for me. This is for Jewish Christians who are scattered. But it is for every believer. Look at verse 5 says. Observe that what writer is saying, verse 5. If anyone of you, he did not give any identification for that person. There are different types of Jewish Christians also. Some are poor, some are rich, some are educated, some are uneducated, some are mature in their spiritual life, some are unmature, immature. So James used the word wisdom very interesting way here. Wisdom is morally upright walk here. Morally upright walk. See James, I can show that. James chapter 3 verse 13, 17. We can understand that wisdom is morally upright walk. See chapter 3 verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. Showing good behavior in deeds in trials. He is explaining that what is the wisdom in verse 17. He says that the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentleness, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering without hypocrisy. Verse 17. He is explaining the what is the wisdom. It has nothing whatever to do with the so-called wisdom which people were claiming for themselves and against which author was argued. Normal wisdom leads to disorder, my dear brothers and sisters. But this true wisdom gives moral life. Bitter, jealousy, selfishness, ambition, being arrogant, lying against truth, disorder, the every evil thing. This is wisdom, is not that which comes from down, from above, but it is earthly, natural, and demonic. Here is two different wisdom. One is above wisdom, another one is earthly wisdom. Above wisdom gives godly life, earthly wisdom gives ungodly life. What do you think that is James saying, above wisdom or earthly wisdom in this passage? Above wisdom, earthly wisdom. I am asking. Above wisdom. This is God-centered wisdom which helps believer to live righteous life in midst of trials. It helps believers to become perfect. Verse 4. See, verse 4 says, context of this passage. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Why I am saying that wisdom is upright walk? Because of verse 4. Why did God send trials in believer's life? So that believer may perfect in godliness and become like Jesus Christ. The finally meaning of this word. If any of you lacks wisdom to walk unrighteous life in trials. There was a lack of spirituality in trials. There were lack of love among believers. There are selfishness in time of trials. Because they lost their home, these people. their luxury life. Is this possible to live upright life in time of trials to believers? This is possible, but very difficult. This we will understand in this epistle. See, they have a lot of spiritual problem. So he was writing these words. Let me tell those things briefly. They are struggling in their speech. When they are in trials, they are struggling in their speech. They are slow to hear and quick to speak. And also they are not receiving word of God, doing filthy sins and wickedness. Even though they have trials, they are doing sin. They have sin of partiality among them, looking down on poor people. They are not obeying the great commandment of Jesus Christ. Love your God, love your neighbor, love your brother. They have problem with their tongues. Even though they are in trials, they have quarrels because of the lust for the things of others. And they have pride and they have friendship with all. Chapter 4 and 5, we can understand this. The whole book, even though these people, listen my dear brothers and sisters, even though these people are in the trials, but they are facing spiritual problem. Let me give some example. Abraham married Hagar because of trial of no children. Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. His descendants now also troubling Israel. Moses became angry because of pressure of Israel. He has beaten the rock. Elijah was running for the fear of one lady, saying, "There is no one beside me. I am only one person serving God." He became prideful in the time of trials. We know Peter. He lied 3 times in the time of trials. The disciples were feared when they are going by boat when strong wind came. My dear brothers and sisters, there is a chance to live ungodly life because of trials. There is a chance to live ungodly life in the midst of luxury life, and also there is a chance to live ungodly life in midst of trials. That's why Holy Spirit is speaking with them through the word that what to do in that time. That is our weakness. That is those people's weakness. So what to do in that time? Look at verse 5. It says, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. The word "let him ask of God." This is command. The meaning of this word is, listen, meaning of this word is to ask or to request for act. Begging somebody to do something and praying God. James is commanding that person. The force of command is probably not urging, not taking permission. But a command, actual meaning of this word is, if anyone lacks wisdom, he must ask. He must ask. This is a command. This is not optional. James is not giving one of the way to overcome trials. He is giving only one option. You must ask of God. Not only ask of God, continually. This is present tense. You should ask God continually when you are facing trials. James is writing these things to those believers. Best example of prayer is Jesus Christ. Jesus understands better than us what to do in trials. He prayed God in time of terrible suffering that God was going to pour out his eternal wrath upon sinners, those who called before the foundation of the earth, that is you and me. That time, Jesus Christ prayed to God. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 41. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. And he withdrew from the abode a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray. Jesus is the best example what to do in trial. Verse 42 saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Verse 44, and he being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drop of blood falling down upon the ground. My dear brothers and sisters, maybe you have different trials in your life. Please pray continually. Please acknowledge your weakness. You cannot live holy life, righteous life in between trials, in between suffering. Please pray continually to God. Maybe you say, I have no time to pray. Because of jobs, study. What you will do when you are going jobs by car, by bus, by bike? Your heart is free to pray. As a housemaker, homemaker, you are free when you are doing your work, you can pray God. God is always ready to listen his children pray. The second principle that teaches us to pray in God-centered way is praying by knowing him. Praying by knowing God. Look at verse 5 says that, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Three attitudes of God that help us to know him in time of trials. Three attributes. The first attribute of God is, he is wise. He is wise. Look at verse 5 says that, but any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Carefully observe these words. Ask of God. He did not say, use your mind. He did not say, depend on your wisdom. He did not say, run to so-called pastors, healers. They will give wisdom to you. He did not say that. He said that through Holy Spirit, ask of God. Pray God. Because God is the source of all wisdom. God is the source of all wisdom. Nobody will give this wisdom except God. Man is not source of wisdom, but God. Man is unwise and foolish. God has abundant wisdom. God's wisdom is his perfect knowledge of how to act skillfully. Therefore, James was saying that you must ask of God, who is source of everything, who is source of wisdom. Asking God for wisdom is good thing for us, good thing for believer if he has trials. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth came knowledge and understanding. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. We cannot understand, comprehend the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. Do you know, brothers and sisters? He redeemed us by his wisdom. He sanctifies us by his wisdom. He helps us by his wisdom how to handle trials when we are going. James is commanding us to depend, to request God, to beg God, so that we may live righteous life. He is not giving them option. He is not giving us option, but only one way, that is God. Second attribute of God that helps us to know him in time of trials is, he is generous. Look at verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously, and it will be given to him. James is describing who is God. God not only have wisdom, but He is a giver of wisdom. And He is all generous God. He will give. How He will give? Look at the word generously. This word carries the idea of singleness of heart, of doing something unconditionally, openly giving, giving wholeheartedly, without reserve, and without bargaining. We will go market, we will bargain. Shall we give for this rate? But God is not like that. Without bargaining, generously He will give those who ask Him. Here James is saying that if anybody asks God for wisdom, God will give that, no doubt at all. No doubt at all. Look at verse 5b. This verse is passive. We do not have strength that we can gain wisdom for ourselves, but it will be given by God, not by us, not by any man. He is a generous God. We know James chapter 1 verse 17 says that. Look at chapter 1, James verse 17. Every good thing given and very perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, let me ask one question. Whom will God give wisdom, which help to live righteous life in time of suffering? Who will give? To whom He will give? What James saying here is, it will be given to him. Who is he who depend on Him, who asks and who requests God to help him? Believer, think that God won't give, but He is generous God in our trials. James is reminding the nature of God. His nature is to give His people good thing. He gave His Son. Definitely, He will give what you want in the time of suffering. If you want to live righteous life in the time of suffering, He will give if you ask. Because God is generous. My dear brothers and sisters, you always remember in your life, Bible saying, you always remember God is wise. God is generous. And also third attribute of God that help us to know Him is, He does not revile. Look at verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Reproach means scolding, reviling, cast insult. Here, word of God saying that without reproach. That means He does not want anyone to hesitate to come to Him. He will allow them to Him through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, He never allow anybody. He is kind and generous and good, loving God. He will allow them, everybody. He did not insult anybody. He does not look down on anybody who goes to Him. We know Nahum chapter 1 verse 7 says that. Nahum chapter 1 7 says that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the days of trouble. And He knows those who take refuge in Him. Steve Fernandez and his wife, they both are serving. One fellow elder cheated him and spread gossip against him. Chairs were emptied in church. The both husband and wife, Pastor Steve and his wife Karen, were depressed, disappointed because of the trials. They started praying. to God. Because of they could not bear the trials. Because of that brother was cheated him. They prayed 1 year, more than 1 year. But God gave wisdom to them. Why? That pastor and his wife prayed because they know. Even though we are facing trials in the church, if we pray, our God is wise. Our God is generous. He did not scold us. Definitely, if we run to him, he will do something for us. They believed that. So they were praying that time. My dear brothers and sisters, always remember that God is wise and generous. He did not revile. You are reading newspaper and also studying your secular books, stories, novels. It's okay. I am saying to you, study attributes of God. Study your God in Bible. It will help you to see high view of God, to see God who is. That will help you to pray in the time of trials as a God-centered prayer. The third principle that teaches us to pray in God-centered way is praying with confidence. Praying with confidence. Look at verse 6 says that, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. Here James is saying that how we should ask God. As we understand the meaning of asking, the man who has lack of wisdom, unholy life, should depend on God, should ask God. Even though he are depending on God, but he does not have faith, full of faith, full of confidence, that not worth it. So, James is saying that believers should depend on right way. Not only asking God, not only knowing him, but he should ask right way. That is, asking with confidence. My dear brothers, if anyone is doubting God, he is attacking God's character. That he is saying that God is not wise giver. God is not generous. God is, don't like me. God don't like me. If anyone doubting God, he is attacking God's character. Doubting means, what is doubting? Doubting means uncertain between trusting God and trusting the world. Trusting God and trusting his own natural abilities. Doubting means one who lives in inner conflict between trust and distrust of God. Here in this passage, he is unsure of God's character that is able to give wisdom how to live godly life in time of trials. James is telling to believers that by faith, believer should ask. With confidence, believer should ask. Even though you know he is God, he is your father, you should ask with confidence. John Gospel chapter 11, verse 41. So they removed, I am telling, John Gospel chapter 11, verse 41. We can understand how Jesus has confidence. How Jesus prayed with confidence. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Verse 44, I knew that you always hear me. This is the faith in time of trials. Jesus has confidence when he was praying to God. This is the right way, my dear brothers and sisters. Every believer should pray with confidence. You know, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He said 16, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus has confidence. Bible is saying, commanding to believers, you should have confidence when you are praying. James is giving three warnings against who doubt God. Three warnings against doubting God. The first warning against doubting God is, there is no peace. If you won't pray with confidence, there is no peace for you. Look at verse 6 says, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea. ESV, way of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Here James is telling that one who doubts God, he is like surf of the sea, which always driven forth and back and tossed. There is no rest for that one who doubts God in the time of trials to walk righteous life. This man is not the controller of, but he is being driven and tossed by the doubt. Here James is saying that you will be like that if you doubt God. No peace, going forth and back in trials because of lack of wisdom. There is no peace for you in time of trials. Second warning that against doubting God is, there is no hope. Not only there is no peace, second warning, there is no hope. Look at verse 7. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. The person who doubts God's goodness, he is dishonoring God. Such person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. James is saying that stop expectation. Don't expect anything from the Lord if you are doubting. There is no hope for you. Here is the interesting idea that he will receive anything from the Lord. Look what, anything. He receives nothing from the Lord. He receives nothing from the Lord. Who gives something to anybody? The verse is saying, the Lord Jesus Christ. John Gospel chapter 14 verse 13 says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14 says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus is promising that he will do, but in his name, with trust. The name is reference to the nature. The believer should trust the nature of the God. If he won't trust nature of the God, Lord Jesus Christ cannot do anything to him. That is the scripture saying. There is no hope because he is doubting Almighty God, who is sovereign, who controls everything. He is doubting that God. He is doubting God, Lord Jesus Christ. So there is no hope. Third warning against doubting God is, there is no consistency. There is no stability. Look at verse 8 says that, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Based on this context, one who doubts God, he is double-minded man, an unstable man. Inconsistency of him who doubt God for upright work. There is no spiritual consistency for that man who doubt God, who has double-minded. Scientists once studied snake that was double-minded. It was born with two heads. Each head has mind of its own, would try to control whole body. One mind wants to move one way, another mind wants to another way. Finally, snake moves completely different way. That is the picture of one who doubts God. He is not stable. He always moving there and there. He will go another way. God is another way. My dear brothers and sisters, everyone who has trials, he must pray with confidence. Because of three warnings James is giving warnings. He is not speaking normally. There is no peace for you. There is no hope for you. Don't expect anything from the Lord if you are doubting who is God. And also there is no consistency in spiritual life. Few years back, I and my brother went to swim. See, my brother is swimming little far from me. So I'm swimming. Suddenly, the waves were dragging me deep into the sea. So I decided, I thought I am going to die. So I have two options to do. One option is, I need to swim well. Second option is, I need to call my brother. First option, cancel. Because I have no strength, because I feared death. So I lose my energy. So second option, I should call my brother. I was shouting, brother, brother, with swimming. Brother, brother. He came and he helped me to come out of the sea. My dear brothers and sisters, I am telling, if I won't trust my brother, I would not call my brother. I have confidence he can swim well. He can help me to come out of this trouble. He can save me. I have confidence I call my brother. This is same with the Father, our God. If you have confidence, definitely in your time, weak time, you will shout to the God. How David called. How man of God will call. How people, those who are in Bible, call God. Like that, you will shout to the God. Are you praying with confidence in trials? Whether it is financial problem, whether it is physical illness, disappointment, criticism, cancer, kidney stones, lot of problems are there. Children are not obeying you, they are troubling you. Husband hating wife, wife not submitting, these are all problems, trials. Are you praying? Do you have confidence God will help you in your weak time? If you want to live, my dear brothers and sisters, run to God with confidence in prayer. When you do not bear your burden, do not be a way of sea. Do not be a double-minded snake, always doubting God, insulting your God, who sent his son instead of you, who killed his son instead of you. You are doubting that God. Don't doubt God. One day you are spiritual. Another day you are unspiritual, troubling your brothers. One day you want to live righteous life. One day you are living unrighteous life. Why? Because you are doubting God. Otherwise you are not praying God. Remember who God is. Pray with confidence. I am begging you, my dear brothers and sisters, if you won't have confidence, he won't help you. Our Father is not angry daddy in heaven. He is loving daddy. He loves us when we pray him. He comes to help us. This is command. We must do that. Three principles we have discussed that help us to pray in God-centered way. Praying by acknowledging our weakness. Praying by knowing him. Praying with confidence. Octavius Winslow, who was a pastor of 1815s in England, wrote the book called Christ's Sympathy to Weary Pilgrim. Psalm 55 verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Based on this verse, he wrote poetical words. God is saying that, child of my love, lean hard. Let me feel the pressure of your care. I know your burden, child. I shaped it. I poised it in my own hand. For even I laid it on, I said, I shall be near. And while you lean on me, This burden shall be mine, not yours. Do not fear to impose it on a shoulder which upholds the government of the world. Yet closer come. You are not near enough. I would embrace your burden, so I might feel my child reposing on my breast. You love me, I know that. Doubt not. Then, but loving me, lean hard. Christ may help us to obey His words. Christ may help us to trust God the time of our ungodly life. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love upon us. Lord, we are weak. We always depend. We need to depend on you, Lord. Lord, help us to depend on you, to pray you in time of our need. Bless this church. Lord, help these brothers and sisters. They may ask you, not anyone, in time of their need. Lord, help this Christ Community Church to become like Christ, to pray like Christ, trust you, on you alone, not anybody. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.